Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, episode number 68. And this one is absolutely packed with really just one big topic, because this week Twitch released an open letter of all of their feature plans for 2023. We're talking 7 or 8 new features that Ben and I dive into that are really exciting for you if you're a Twitch streamer, or if you're a streamer thinking about streaming on Twitch, or even if you're a viewer of Twitch as a platform. There is plenty of new things coming your way in 2023.
Yeah, Pete, there's a lot to be excited about here, including new ways to earn if you're a streamer on Twitch, new ways to promote your stream, whether you're on Twitch or off Twitch, with a new editor coming through pretty soon. Some new improvements to ad experiences, which are long overdue, including a really exciting discovery system, similar to TikTok, which is kind of the crown jewel of this whole piece. So lots to talk about, Pete. Let's jump into it.
Let's start by covering all the normal little bits of news. And the first thing that we've got here is, I've called the topic Rise of the Content Creator Orgs, because we're starting to see more content creators making esports organizations. And this looked like it stemmed from a tweet from Toast and a response from Ludwig, but it's probably been in the works for many, many months. But yeah, big streamer Ludwig has joined another big streamer, Moist Critical, as a part owner of his esports org, which I think is called Moist Esports. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, which I believe got announced last week, which is another in the wave of, you know, like you said, content creator org fusions that we're seeing come out lately. I think that Ludwig partnered with Moist Critical, who's had the Moist Esports org for a while. And they kind of made a video joking about the wins they've had already so far. So he's going to be a partner on there. I think there's going to be some co-branding. So like he said, some of the teams might be mogul type branding for Ludwig, even though it's the Moist overarching theme. But really interesting to see some different creators partner on this. In addition to that, we had Disguised Toast, who kind of subtly announced his own Valorant roster. And I think that's kind of, I highlighted a tweet for this segment here. Of Toast jokingly asking, how do I make money with an esports team? And Ludwig responding to that, which was funny because that happened right before Ludwig announced his own esports venture. So just interesting to see all these top streamers really breaking into the space with esports. And funnily, they all kind of feel, they seem like they're not sure exactly how to make the money yet. Even in Ludwig's own video was talking about that a little bit, but still really value it and want to do it. So we'll kind of see how these shake out, Pete. But I think this is probably something we'll see more of, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and this kind of ties in. We've spoken on the last couple of pods about a fair few big esports organizations, 100 Thieves being the one that comes to mind, having to lay off many members of staff. So I can't imagine that these huge companies that have massive venture capital backing, if they can't turn a profit, it does make me a little bit skeptical, I would say, for a couple of content creators who have their own other businesses to run, to be able to successfully turn a profit. And we saw in Ludwig and Moist Critical's sort of announcement video, they memed on that by saying that they're just burning money, and there was a video of them throwing money into a fire. But I mean, what are the advantages of it being owned by two content creators rather than coming from the purely like sports franchising background that we see with most major esports organizations?
Yeah, I feel like there are pros and cons, actually. I kind of feel like maybe the first org like this was 100 Thieves, with Nadeshot being a huge influential piece of that. And they've had other streamers join that are a big piece of the brand at this point. I mean, the good thing is that the brand kind of inherently has its own leverage and notoriety because it's tied to that creator. The downside is if that creator goes off the deep end or does something bad, then the whole org kind of suffers. So I think there's pros and cons, but if you look at some other esports teams out there that have been around for a long time, what can happen with those teams is if they lose people who are a big part of the brand and move to other teams, then those teams can lose a lot of interest from people if the star players leave. Whereas content creator orgs, the interest is kind of always there since it's based around the person who actually started it. So I think it's interesting, and these are still really fresh esports teams compared to some of the longer ones like Liquid, TSM, Fnatic, like there's a ton out there you can name. So we'll see how they kind of shake out. I am optimistic for this, though, because they're not really dependent on a certain game to do well, per se, as well as much as the creator behind all of it.
Yeah, and I think the other advantage is that because it's run by such big personalities that can pull in massive viewership, then there's the opportunity to sort of gain a whole new fan base, because let's say Ludwig and Moist Critical get to watch their Rocket League team competing and get to co-stream that event, then they're almost like the number one fan cheering on, and then everybody that's joining in on that stream is supporting them as well. So, you know, they're not signing the huge teams and the huge names. We haven't seen them enter into a major esport like League of Legends or anything like that. I think that's probably a bit of a reach still. But if they're getting an underdog team and then they're having all of this new support behind them, then you get to play into that underdog mentality. And like you said in the announcement video, they've won a few trophies already in some other esports. Anyway, I think it's kind of an interesting thing to follow, because at the end of the day, these are other content creators and they've managed to add a new slice to their pie of their business by, you know, making an esports organization. And maybe that slice of the pie is just losing money and that's all it's ever going to do. But it's worth following, I think. Right, what else have we got? A little update from Twitter. This was a major complaint of mine from last week or the week before. One of Elon's many updates where I was talking about how the iOS version of the app certainly had like two tabs when you opened it up on the homepage. One was For You, which is algorithm driven, and one is Following, which is driven by like the normal timeline. So it's most recent tweets first. And every time you closed or reopened the app or reopened the website, it always went to the For You tab first, the algorithm one where they're serving what they think you want to read. But actually, I follow the people that I want to read, so I want to go on the Following tab. They've issued a fix where now it will apparently remember where you left off. So whichever tab you left off on, when you reopen it, it should open back up on that. I've still been having some weird issues with this. Maybe I haven't actually had the update pushed out to my iPhone yet. But anyway, it's nice to know that they are listening to the community and you know, taking back the features that they're rolling out that are making the platform worse, Ben.
Yeah, I just caught this reading this again. It's only on the web right now, apparently. So iOS right. And Android are rolling out. Because I thought the same thing. Like I've definitely just seen For You as my default. So that's nice if you browse Twitter on the web primarily. I feel like most people probably are on their phones at this point on Twitter, whether it's iOS or Android. So hopefully that comes soon. Personally, I don't really feel like there's that much of a difference, at least from the new For You experience versus what it was a couple weeks ago. So I don't really mind, but it sounds like you really just want to see the Following and definitely should be able to stick that way if you want to.
If the algorithm was as good as, say, YouTube's algorithm or TikTok's, not that I use TikTok, but everybody talks about how great their algorithm is, then maybe I'd be interested in seeing more tweets from outside of the people that I follow. But right now it just seems to be like somebody writing a thread on the 10 best email plugins that you can get. And I'm like, I don't want to read that. I want to you know, follow the content creator and streamer space. But anyway, yeah, just tiny little update from Twitter's point of view. Did you catch the Spanish speaking streamer awards last night? And if you haven't yet, did you see the size of the audience? It's absolutely crazy, this event that was hosted by, hosted by the Gref G, who we've spoken about before. He's, you know, I think he still holds one of the records for Twitch viewership. Massive Spanish Twitch streamer. And he hosted his version or the Spanish-speaking version of the Streamer Awards last night. Some stats just from the stream. 1.7 million live viewers is what the concurrent reached. Just absolutely crazy numbers. And I think there was a few different, you know, Spanish people that were hosting the awards and things. I'll pull up a clip that I saw on Livestream Fails earlier today, on Livestream Fails, because they showed Twitch chat in the background of this event. And of course, you know, some ASCII art got posted, but you get to see the size of the audience in this. And it's like a proper legit, this looks like the Oscars or something. It's absolutely mental that we have this kind of event now for this is just for, remember, Spanish speaking. Look at the size of that audience there. It's a proper arena that they're hosting this in, and it looks like a proper production, Ben. I didn't catch any of it live, so I only just woke up to it this morning and just found some clips that highlighted, but it's just amazing. We often talk about this whole side of the live streaming market that we don't see very often, which is the Spanish speaking side, and just how big it is. And it's rivaling the English-speaking side, and certainly in productions like this. Because I know that the English-speaking side, we do have the Streamer Awards that Cutie Cinderella hosts and basically runs. But this looks like a whole level up in terms of production.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we come from the English space for content here. So it's crazy how such a huge event, I saw very little discussion of it on my feed. And it just goes to show you how big the Spanish speaking community is on Twitch, and not just Twitch, but how big this event was and for how little coverage there was. It makes me wonder how many other languages out there could have this type of event in their own language. Obviously, to your point, we have the Streamer Awards, and there's a bunch of different types of awards now for English speaking shows primarily. But the size of this one is just massive. And I think Grefg actually, I think, does he hold the current record for viewership, Pete, with, I think it was his Fortnite skin that was, what, like 2.5 million or something that people watched that. And so this was 1.7, I believe, which is also massive. And yeah, again, I think that we're going to see just the continued rise of Spanish dominated viewership moments, whether it is things like this, awards shows that streamers put on, or just big moments like the Fortnite stuff. I don't think that's going to slow down anytime soon. If you look at how many Spanish speaking countries there are versus English, Pete, it's more leaning that way for sure.
Yeah, it feels to me like the Spanish side of live streaming have more of these events, or the events are certainly way bigger viewership wise. Like if we look at Ibai, Grefg, Rubius, I feel like they've all hosted huge like boxing or award ceremony events or Fortnite skin reveals, whatever it is, but these major productions, and then the viewership on them is absolutely mental. So yeah, it's something we need to pay better attention to. If we were following more of these accounts, I'm sure we would have known about the announcement of this and maybe been able to dig a little deeper, but it's just fascinating. And I think we're probably going to see it for more more languages and more countries as well. But the French community, the Russian-speaking community, these are all big still on Twitch. So it wouldn't surprise me if we're going to see more events hosted and keep pushing the production value. That's what I love seeing, is these like proper TV-worthy productions that are just happening on somebody's Twitch channel. This all happened on the Grefg's Twitch channel. So yeah, anyway. What have we got next? Some news about the Twitch rival Kick.com, which, to be honest, I think I picked at the top of the year as the platform that probably doesn't exist by the end of the year. Well, it's had some pretty major investment or partnership, certainly with the Alfa Romeo F1 team. Now, I know that F1's not massive over there in the States, Ben. You probably don't follow it. It's a pretty big sport over here in the UK. We have a lot of good British drivers in the history of Formula One, and it's a big motorsport around mostly the whole of the world, and I know that popularity is growing in America with Netflix's Drive to Survive and things like that. But Alfa Romeo is one of 10 F1 teams, so them partnering with kick.com, and they're actually going to have the Kick logo on the arm sleeve of their racing jerseys, so it's going to be prominent on both the car and on their sleeves. I mean, the cars are absolutely littered with advertisements, so maybe that's not that unique, but I certainly thought that anyone that was going to be partnering with kick.com was going to be gambling related and not legitimate companies like Alfa Romeo F1. So maybe Kick will still be around in a year's time if it's going to keep partnering with big orgs like Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, this is interesting, and to your point, Pete, I think it's definitely bigger over in Europe, F1, than it is here, but it's growing in the US, so this is definitely not something small. You can definitely tell that Stake.com is really the one funding all this, right? So even though it's Kick on there, there's plenty of mention of Stake throughout the article. I think even like it's Alfa Romeo F1 Team Stake is the Twitter account. So I think that's where a lot of the funding is coming from. But it is a good way to get the brand out there, especially to a global audience who watches F1. So pretty interesting. Of course, it's always good for us if other streaming platforms are popping up and doing well, because that only just results in better outcomes for the streamer and the viewer too, if there's more competition. So honestly, we'll see where Stake and Kick and Alfa Romeo end up through the rest of this year. But if they do better with the platform, then that's only good for us, really.
I mean, also, I want to caveat that Formula One teams have been in the past, sponsored by cigarette companies. I don't think they're particularly wary of what brands they're taking money from. It's usually, whoever pays the most. And this looks probably like Kick are paying, or Stake are paying, for the advertisement on their car and on their jerseys. So all that money is coming from the Stake sort of ecosystem of people losing money through gambling. So who knows how long it will stay around for. We've seen a lot of crypto things come and die in relatively short amount of time. So this could be another one. Just a really quick bit of Twitch news before we get onto the main open letters. Something that Zach just tweeted out a few hours ago before we went live. The live ads growth program. You found this, Ben. Do you want to talk us through exactly what you've seen here?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I think Zach's the only one I saw report on this so far. He says that it started in November, but only just now are ads actually showing up. And what it is basically, it looks like Twitch is running a beta program where for select streamers, you'll be given the option to have paid ads run for you, essentially, on Facebook and Instagram while you're live, which is really interesting. There is a way to opt into it, looks like, for certain streamers. I think it was an invite only type thing. And they have a screenshot here of what looks like to be a Facebook ad that says, like, here's a Twitch ad, basically. And X streamer is live now on Twitch with an actual video feed of their stream right there on Facebook, which is really interesting. The fact that they're really using Facebook and Instagram ads to grow Twitch streamers. Notably, it's only for affiliates. So I guess they're trying to really make it like a growth type thing, not more of a partner and new user thing. But just interesting, Pete. This is, again, only thing I've seen mentioned so far is here from Zach. So maybe we'll get more info on it. But I just thought it was a really weird way for Twitch to do ads to grow users versus, you know, like other sorts of programs on the site they could do for affiliates.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of nice things about this. The fact that it's affiliates before partners is great. I think partners get a lot of promotion as it is. It does make me a little bit worried that they could be promoting somebody that they haven't done a great amount of research on what they talk about or what their live stream's about, because basically anybody can get Twitch affiliate. But I'm sure there's a vetting process as to who actually shows up in these promotions. But yeah, an interesting experiment.
Yeah, right, Ben. And sorry. Just one thing to add that's really funny about this is, like, Facebook has their own game streaming thing. So you'd think that they don't want to be pushing people away from Facebook to Twitch to watch a different live stream.
True.
So I feel like maybe that's why they didn't talk much about it. Like, maybe Facebook will find out through this and kind of stop that. Because again, you wouldn't really expect to go onto YouTube and then get ads to watch somebody on Twitch through a video or something. You know, there's a lot of competition there. So we'll see where it shakes out, but it's interesting for sure.
Do you want to kick us off with talking about this open letter that went out then?
Yes, which is the big meat and potatoes of the discussion. So again, I forget what day this went out exactly, Pete.
25th, so okay, Wednesday, yeah. I think.
25th. Twitch put out their big roadmap, essentially, for 2023, which is called an open letter from our chief product officer and chief monetization officer. And there are a lot of changes in here. So I think we're going to kind of go through this bit by bit, Pete. Of what was taught through here. They start with 2022 in review and list off some of the features that they added during last year. So it's nothing really new right there. They do give some interesting stats for the changes they made. So the fact that they lowered the payout threshold, for example, from 100 to 50, means that over 300K streamers got their first ever payout, which that was pretty cool. They also launched Guest Star, which they touched on. Guest Star, I feel like I've not seen it used a lot yet, Pete, but they also have some changes for that coming for 2023, so we'll see where that kind of ends up. And then some changes to tags, the ads incentive program, which we talked about last week quite a bit, and then also stream display ads and a couple other changes here. A charity tool, for example, that's another one that was pretty big last year. So anything stand out to you from the recap before we jump into the 2023 stuff, Pete?
I mean, yeah, you basically summarized, I think, the little stats that you could pull out of it. Good to see that more people are taking their first payout and more people are getting paid monthly now that the payment threshold is lower. So hopefully people are more motivated to keep streaming and not give up just because they can't reach that $100 threshold. But yeah, they always fill out with how great they were last year and then how great we'll be next year. It feels like if you've listened to this podcast through last year, you will have heard us talk about all of these features. So this isn't really the interesting bit to me because I've seen it all happen last year. But maybe if you're completely new to the Twitch space and you want to know what the new tools were last year, it could be interesting to sort of follow through that. Let's get into the 2023 look ahead then. And we'll sort of break this down section by section. So I think I wrote the title of this podcast being sort of the seven tools that are coming, or the seven new features. I think there's actually eight sections that we're going to be talking about, but let's break them down one at a time. So this first one, giving you more options to earn. And there's a few different ways that they're going to talk about these new ways to earn. So let's break those down as well. The first one that they're talking about is an experience called Soundbites, which is Twitch's first party sound alerts that allow viewers to pay to interact with and support their favorite streamers. So we've seen tools like this being developed for a long time, haven't we, where they're sort of extension based, where somebody pays $3 and they can jump scare, or they can play a certain sound alert to the streamer and the streamer hears it as well as the rest of the stream. This sounds like Twitch has seen that that's a significant amount of money, or a significant amount of people wanting to do that, and they're going to build a first party version called Soundbites. So yeah, I mean, I don't hate this. I don't know necessarily if it's going to be used massively. None of the streamers that I watch use things like this, but maybe when it's on Twitch's own platform, it will be more common.
Yeah, this one's interesting. I think one theme you'll see throughout this article is Twitch is taking a lot of ideas that have been around in the community and making them first party, or making some sort of direct monetization through them. And this is the first one, because text-to-speech donations have been around forever, Pete, which this is the first thing I thought of when I saw it. We'll have to see what it looks like when it rolls out. And importantly, most of what we talk about today, there's no actual dates on when it comes out. This is all just, here's everything we're doing in 2023 at some point. So the good news is we can kind of hold them to doing a lot of this that they've said they're going to do. Bad news is we don't know when it's going to come out. But Soundbites is an idea I do like. And I think there could be good traction for it if it's easy to use for the streamer and the viewer. I have seen some versions out there that will like mimic streamers' voices with AI and things like that. So maybe they go that route. I think the voices they have will make a big difference on whether it's popular. So we'll see.
Yeah, totally agree. And also to mention, when you're saying that there is no dates for a lot of these announcements, there's actually no like info or screenshots for a lot of them as well. So you're left guessing actually what this will look like in terms of implementation. But we'll give our best guess as to what we think it will look like. In this same giving you more options to earn section, they also talk about how they're looking to basically allow viewers of your channel to support your channel in new ways, and incentivize that by giving prizes and discounts, personalized discounts is the saying here, based on their viewership. So my interpretation of this was sort of like, you know how you can get channel points for watching a channel for longer and then spend those points on whatever the streamer has set up? This to me is like, maybe they'll work out if you're a super fan of a channel. If you watch it a lot and you support them, then they'll be able to start offering discounts. Is that the same sort of interpretation that you had, Ben?
Yeah, I think that's probably right for the personalized discounts piece. We'll have to see. They also mentioned, in addition to September, there's going to be more local initiatives to help support Boost. So that might be maybe themed around like your country or state or something. There's going to be certain micro goals. I don't know. The wording on that's kind of weird. Maybe they like just for the US or something, there's a special promotion during August or something. My guess is this is a way to sell to advertisers. If you want to do some special month but can't do it globally like they do with September, then they have more options like that throughout the year. So we'll see. Hopefully it means more discounts for subs outside of just September, because that's pretty much what it's been for the past couple of years, Pete.
Yeah. You see some viewers just saving up all of their subs to buy in September and then spread them out through the year. Next point in the more options to learn, I'll just read this out. As a first step to building a meaningful sponsorship solution, we'll test features with a select few streamers to make sponsorship deals more effective and authentic on Twitch, therefore making it more lucrative for the streamer and more impactful for the brand. Starting with channel skins and clickable branded graphics, streamers can easily place these branded assets onto streams, above chat, and other places on your channel page for a less disruptive and more engaging sponsorship experience. So this to me sounds like the OG YouTube. I don't know if you were on the platform back then, because this is way before me and you became friends, Ben. The old YouTube, you used to be able to like upload your own backgrounds to your channel page, so you could have like whatever images you had on the side of your website. Or you sometimes see major websites have like big advertising campaigns that take over like the whole homepage behind the content effectively. This is what it sounds like to me. So it sounds like Twitch is going to build a way of sponsors advertising on Twitch with specific partners and affiliates, and being able to integrate it in more of a way than just, you know, that you playing their game, but actually being able to have branded assets around your stream and on your channel page that people can click to then go and visit the sponsor in some kind of way, which is pretty interesting because we haven't really seen Twitch take a stance on increasing the level of sponsorships. They obviously have their like sponsorships program where brands can work with partnered streamers and offer them bounties, but this is a whole new direction. It's kind of a worrying one from the viewer's point of view because you don't want Twitch to become one massive like ad platform where you're going to watch a streamer and you've just got Raid Shadow Legends behind their channel page. but at the same time, this is going to be much better for the brands. And if that means better for the brands, that means they're willing to spend more, which means better monetization for the streamers at the end of the day. So can't complain about that.
Yeah, I don't hate this. Again, we really have to see what this looks like because I actually kind of similar to you. I'm just imagining like an entirely differently themed platform experience when you're on this channel. That's, you have like the Giorno's pizza all over the Twitch page or something. That's the entire, everywhere that's not the stream, the chat, right, is some sort of graphic. I don't think it'd be that crazy, but I feel like I've seen some cases on the homepage where they've done that, Pete, where they have some special side banners or something. So maybe it's taking that experience and putting it on the channel. What's cool about this is it gives you ways to hopefully do sponsorships without needing to interrupt the content so much. So advertisers could guarantee get their stuff on the page and you could still pretty much just stream as usual and have less ads and stuff to break it up. So that part I like. And obviously for Twitch, it's a way to further monetize the platform. So not terrible. Again, the more we can move away from mid-rolls into stuff like this would be nice. Plus, I think this is the first time that they've done like a first-party sponsorship solution. So that'll be interesting to see if they kind of bring brands in to work with certain streamers and how you qualify for all that program stuff. But the sound of it is pretty cool.
I just hope that they keep the whole thing simple because it seems to me if a brand approaches Twitch now because they want to advertise, they've got so many different options, which is a good thing, of how they can advertise. But I hope they make it simple and this tool does work and allows streamers to, you know, have... Well, I would say more authentic brand deals, but also just more lucrative brand deals, because that's what we want at the end of the day. More people making more money on these platforms. And, you know, Twitch making some money too. So hopefully Amazon doesn't cut them off when they turn like the sixth year in a row with no profit. All right, let's move on from talking about the monetization or the more ways to earn into talking about the new tools that reduce the effort to promote your stream on and off of Twitch. So this is pretty interesting. I mean, we've basically seen every single platform say that they're going to do this at some point this year, which is essentially allow you to have an editing tool built into the website where you're going to be able to turn your 16:9 content into short form vertical content. On Twitch, this has been, you know, a request for so many years. In fact, there's like 5 to 10 different websites that allow you to now do this. They've just built a whole website where you basically put your Twitch clip URL in and then you show them where in that video your webcam is and where your gameplay is, and then it combines it into a nice vertical video format that you can upload to TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. Twitch has finally announced that they're building it themselves. I did watch the Twitch monthly, I can't remember what their live stream is called, but their monthly recap where they were talking about all these new features. And the way that the person was talking about this was like, that it hadn't even started being built. I think he just used the term like, we will be building, rather than like, we've been building, which is what I kind of hoped that they would say. So I hope this rolls out relatively soon because everybody now knows that vertical video format is here to stay, and it's an incredible way of being able to promote your stream. Ben, you've seen that firsthand yourself with your, you know, League of Legends clips and things that have millions of views now on TikTok, I'm sure. But this has been needed for a long time, so I'm glad that they're aware that this is something they should have been working on and are actively working on.
Yeah, it's interesting to see them specifically call out, this is the second time they've done it, that you should be taking your clips and posting them on other platforms. I think a lot of people want Twitch to do their own type of TikTok experience, which at first I was kind of frustrated after seeing this, that they didn't have an announcement, but hold that thought till the end of this podcast. But it's cool that it's built into the platform now. I do have some questions as to how good it will be, because I've been using Streamladder for a while, but there's a ton of them, like you said, Pete, that will do this for you, which are pretty powerful, and it's all in a browser. So I hope that Twitches can be as easy and as customizable as some of the third-party apps out there, but I don't hate it. And it's even cool if you can, maybe they'll make it easy to send stuff straight to TikTok or Instagram, things like that. We'll have to see. Having it all in one app and be able to clip, edit, post everything from your phone, for example, would be super nice for short form.
Do you want my prediction, Ben? My prediction is that they're going to have a cool watermark that goes into the vertical video format, which will be the Twitch logo and your username. And everyone will think, oh, that's so cool. They're helping you promote your Twitch stream on, you know, TikTok and all these other platforms. But Twitch is really doing that because they know that so many people are going to watch these, and then their Twitch logo will be in the bottom corner, and Twitch will be the live streaming space for gamers for years to come. That's my prediction on this. I'd be surprised if they don't do that. There was also a couple of other like minor changes that they're announcing in terms of promoting your stream on and off of Twitch. They'll be launching pinned clips, which is effectively a way of pinning up to 20 clips to your channel page. So you can choose, rather than them being sorted by, you know, most viewed or whatever, you can actually choose to pin specific 20 up to 20. They'll also allow you to add emotes into your stream title and the upcoming stream section. So sort of the schedule section that we've seen on the Twitch website will be coming into the mobile app. So if you go to a streamer that's not live, you'll be able to see if they've added a schedule, when their next stream is, how many hours away it is, or what day it is, or all those kind of things. I don't imagine you have loads to add on that, Ben. So do you want to take us into the next section, which is making running ads easier and better for you?
Yeah, for sure. So again, going into, they have kind of three bullet points here on ads for this first piece. The first update is that they're going to be changing the ads incentive program to reflect requests from the community to make the program easier and more flexible. So basically, you can stay opted in now. If you want to do the ads incentive program instead of having to re-up each month, you can do that. And then they say also there'll be better support for adjusting the number of ads that you're running. Because I think right now it's pretty limited on, you have three options and they're all pretty close to each other. So this makes me think that maybe we'll have like a wider variety of options. It won't just be like 2, 3, 4 ads. You know, it could be like 1, 7, 16 or something. You never know. But more options there is nice, especially if you want to keep doing that and you've seen good results there.
Yeah, it sounds like to me that maybe Twitch was seeing loads of people signing up to the ads incentive and then not meeting the requirements. So they're going to try and make it more flexible so that you can sort of, yeah, move around how many ads you're going to be running per hour or how many streams you're going to be doing per month or whatever the requirements are for the ads incentive program. That's a phrase that I've said far too many times, ads incentive program. It seems to be coming up every single week. They're also improving the ad running experience. So they want to make it more obvious to you, the streamer, and to your viewers as to when an ad is about to run, hopefully making it less of an interruption to both you and your streamer. And they're also going to be making some changes to Twitch Turbo, which is like the ad-free experience, or it was a perk of Twitch Turbo previously. So they're going to make some, or going to improve the clarity around that by the sounds. But not just the ads running easier for you as a streamer, but also improving how ads are going to be for the viewers as well. So we saw some changes like announced probably last year, maybe even the year before that, Ben, when they were talking about the sort of picture-in-picture mode where the ad runs full screen, but the stream still runs in a mini screen above the chat. So it looks like they're going to be improving that by making sure that you, well, firstly, you don't have to be doing the 90-second long ads every 30 minutes. You're going to be able to split that up and basically run that however you want, as long as you're reaching the 90 seconds, I presume. And also applying the picture-by-picture experience to the majority of pre-rolls that viewers see. So if you are arriving at a stream that hasn't been making sure that there are no pre-rolls run, so you do see a pre-roll, that will be in, hopefully, in the picture-by-picture mode, which is a much better streaming experience because you still get to see actually what's happening in the stream and whether it's a stream that you want to check out without just being hit by 2 or 3 ads straight away. So yeah, pretty good changes. I like the picture-by-picture. I wish I saw it more on Twitch, and hopefully we will in 2023.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing I took away here is that more ads, they said the majority of ads now will have the picture-in-picture experience, which is super nice because you can still kind of see the stream is happening. And they specifically call out pre-rolls for that. So I think that they're not as common right now on pre-rolls versus mid-rolls. So it'll be nice now when you jump into a stream, at least you can see the stream is happening in the top corner. You still can't jump in there for 30 seconds or whatever it is, but it's a little better than it currently is. Plus, I do like the fact that you can run all your ads at once now instead of having to split them up into weird like 90-second segments every 30 minutes. That's very disruptive. So now if you run three minutes of ads per hour, it'll disable pre-rolls. Still a lot of ads, but at least you can get it all out of the way once an hour now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so some games lend themselves to having like a 3-minute break, or some streamers run their streams in a way where, you know, maybe they go to the bathroom or something, and 3 minutes of ads kind of makes sense if you can then get 57 minutes of content before the next set of ads. So I like that they're being more flexible with this. A lot of people hate the fact that they're dictating, you know, how many ads you have to run to make sure that there's no pre-roll, but I don't really see any other way for them to do it, because they want to make sure that ads are running on their platform and that the advertisers that are coming to their platform are seeing benefit to it. Anything else from the ad side of things, or should we move on to guest star, Bear?
So one really interesting thing that they've mentioned in this piece is they're exploring ways to give communities a heads up when ads are coming and the ability to snooze a video mid-roll ad. So this is a little weird phrasing when they say snooze an ad. The best interpretation I saw is that basically you would get prompted that an ad is coming and you could like delay it for a couple minutes, like snooze an alarm sort of thing, which would be interesting. Like if maybe you're watching a really intense part of a game or something, or the final bit of a boss fight, and you want to delay that mid-roll for a second, my gut feels like everyone's just always going to snooze it as much as they can until they have to watch the ad, but maybe viewers will use it differently. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, that was my interpretation as well. It feels like the kind of skip ad button that you see on YouTube where you watch 5 seconds and then you can skip. And it's just like people are always going to click that. But maybe Twitch is okay with people clicking on it a few times because it means that they're interacting with the website. They're clearly watching the stream live. So yeah, again, we don't have enough detail through this this blog post or this open letter as to exactly what things like snoozing a mid-roll mean. So we kind of have to guess.
Yeah, so we'll see when it comes out. Any sort of way to hopefully skip ads in the future, Pete, like YouTube, or delay them would be nice, though, with the current experience. On their next subject, it was about Guest Star, which we touched on earlier. This is the program you can use to bring people into your stream, much like a Discord video call almost, but just built into Twitch. So the changes they announced for this is that they're going to expand it to Firefox, Microsoft Edge, and Safari. Right now, I think it's just for Chrome, so that's pretty important to bring to all browsers. And then you'll be able to have more control over the guest audio, I guess, than you currently do. Again, Guest Star is weird. They announced it last year and put a ton of marketing hype into it, but I feel like I've not seen a ton of use for this, Pete. Apparently, XQC does use this semi-regularly, so I guess some big streamers are using it, but I still feel like the vast majority of what I've seen on Twitch is not a lot of use. So maybe these changes will be big. Maybe the fact that it's not on all browsers is a big piece of that. We'll see if that helps with the adoption after this comes out.
I think it's still a bit too finicky to use. Like it's much simpler than something like Video Ninja, but much less control. But at the same time, you still have to add like a browser source into your streaming software. I would have thought that Twitch's implementation of this would somehow do some magic on the Twitch backend where it adds a video over a certain part of your video stream or something. Maybe they looked to explore that and it was just too complicated or too cumbersome. But yeah, I've not seen great adoption as well, but they're pumping out the features and the updates for it. So maybe in time we'll see, you know, more people using Guest Star.
What one important note on this is they use really vague messaging on the second bullet here, but what it sounds like they want to do is expand on multi-stream. I don't know if people still use this, but it used to be really popular to use the multi-stream from the viewer side where you could see multiple streamers at once in like a grid type fashion, and then you'd have a chat on the side. It sounds like they want to build a version of that that is more cross-community, so almost like merging chats or something, maybe temporarily. Again, very, very vague on this bullet point, but that's kind of what I got from reading it. So if that came out, it'd be pretty interesting. If you had like a new viewer experience for a show or something that would bring everybody's communities together, that could be pretty cool.
Didn't they do that with like, wasn't it called Squad Stream or something? Where you could how would it be different to that, do you think?
So Squad Stream, to my understanding, still was almost an identical recreation of that, right? you would still have to choose which chat you want to be active in and kind of navigate between. What they said in this bullet point was that they want to make a truly cross-channel streaming experience building on the technology from GuestStar. So very vague, but that's kind of what I get is some sort of like chat merging. So I think what they want to do is make it so you don't have to jump between different views a lot, but like have everything in one view, including chat, not just the streamers. So we'll see what that ends up looking like.
Yeah, let's move on to the next. I think we're at maybe the fifth new feature or new tool that they're announcing. And this is creating first-party tools to better celebrate viewers. And this one, I remember when I was tweeting about this, this one is super vague. They're basically saying that they're developing some unique alerts that you can only find on Twitch that will help you celebrate moments of support from your community. Sounds like I'm always the skeptic trying to find the reason why I think Twitch has done this. And this is like, they've seen too many people using platforms like Streamlabs and Stream Elements to run their alert service. And Twitch are trying to find a way to make unique alerts that you can only find on Twitch. But they do have a pretty good track history of finding cool moments to celebrate. They've also missed the mark, you know, Hype Train and Boost the Streamer and things like that, I think have been pretty bad experiences. But I'm open to seeing, you know, if they implement this in some kind of cool way, a way of celebrating milestones or certain moments with your community, specifically just on Twitch in terms of alerts. They mentioned one of the tools being Soundbites, which we covered at the very start, the first party sound alerts. And they also talk about viewer milestones, which will help recognize viewers for hitting certain achievements during your stream, creating more personalized relationship with your viewers. It's all very wishy-washy. Like, I can't really pull out from this what they mean or what this is going to look like for a streamer or a viewer. They're just kind of saying you're going to be able to celebrate with your viewers more often because we'll build tools for that. But they haven't really explained anything about it, unless Ben, you've seen anything else.
No, I think that's pretty accurate. Again, I think a lot of this is probably vague because it's so early on in the year that they don't want to have any real specifics in there until the product comes out, which I understand. Hopefully we'll see some cool types of things out there. Like you said, they've really just called out sound bites and viewer milestones. Even those things are kind of still vague, but I imagine it'll be more type of alerts experiences. I don't know what that'll be, but we'll see what they kind of end up rolling out here. In the next section, they talk about giving you better insights into your content. So Creator Home is a specific thing they called out here for affiliates and partners, which I'll just read out. It says it's going to give you a personalized dynamic home base that surfaces the most relevant tips and actionable recommendations to help you grow based on where you are in your streaming journey. So I think this actually is currently live, Pete, for non-affiliates and non-partners. If you're trying to become an affiliate, you have this experience, which kind of shows you like you're this close to getting to affiliate and here's the things you need to do. So this is taking that sort of up to the next level of, I imagine for affiliates, like here's how close you are to partner and here's how to do that. And then partner, maybe it's that new sponsorship opportunity or whatever comes after that. So that could be kind of interesting. Again, a lot of this stuff is available online already. It's interesting to see Twitch build their own version of it though. That's sort of like a hub for it. So hopefully it's helpful for some people, especially affiliates. I think that actually could be pretty helpful if it's done right.
Ben, I don't want to interrupt you, but in the background of your camera, the top left thumbnail is the Gaming Careers podcast that's going on live right now. Can you see
that? Wow, yeah. You guys might have clicked that coming in here.
I can see my blurry face thumbnail that I made for this podcast specifically. Sorry, I get distracted just looking into your amazing setup in the background, and we're just spoiling it now for everybody that's just listening to the podcast rather than watching it. You need to come and check this stuff out yourself. And now you've changed it to something else, right? So I'm gonna come back to my camera instead. So Creator Home. This to me sounds like kind of what YouTube did with analytics. YouTube used to have the analytics program where like you could go in and look at way too much data that you could possibly understand what to do with. And you can still do that. But they realized that nobody was going in there because it was all too confusing. So they started to pull out little insights here and there of how this video does compared to this video, or where in the video viewers are leaving your video, or you know, what elements they're clicking on throughout the video. They're trying to pull out insights that are really useful for you as a creator. It sounds like Twitch are going to try and do the same thing. So creating some actionable insights and tips of what they're seeing from the data of your stream. And again, super skeptical as to what this will look like. It might just be, you know, from the ground up, super basic, and just like, you know, share your clips on TikTok if you want to grow your discoverability and things like that. Who knows? They're probably not going to push you onto a different platform. They did share some screenshots. Now, these aren't necessarily of Creator Home, but a couple of the other insights that they shared here is that they're adding more analytics, tag impressions, the best days and best times to stream various different games to help you reach more viewers, and some audience retention data. And I pulled a few screenshots from their live stream that they did where they talked about some of this. So here on the, what I'm showing now is basically the old dashboard and the new one. So they're breaking it up and making it a bit easier to see what the data is you're looking at. Second screenshot, this is starting to look cool now. The data nerd in me is pretty excited about this. This is showing where your views are coming from outside of Twitch. So if it's coming from, you know, direct people coming to the link, or from Google, from Discord, from Reddit, from TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, you're going to start to see a percentage and how many people have come from that, how many of followers, how many have come from other people's channels, all that kind of data. I think that's going to be super interesting. I hope streamers share some of this for me to go through, since I don't stream on Twitch. And then the final screenshot that they shared is sort of a breakdown of a stream summary or a stream report, what happened after a stream. And you can see it's kind of cut off here because I can't show the full screen. Maybe if I zoom out a couple of times, you can see sort of a graph of viewer chat activity. So you can see the hype moments when people were talking, and it jumps to that exact moment in the VOD. You can see the top clips, the top emotes used, viewer discovery, all that kind of stuff. So it just sounds to me like more data, which I think is a good thing, as long as they can find ways to make sure that it's easily actionable and easy to understand, even for, you know, the not the most technically inclined, because a lot of big streamers aren't, surprisingly. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, this is interesting. Rootsrat in the chat mentioned that, you know, they already have the view, and I think I also do. So it's interesting that they showed that in the video, Pete, because I think at least the chat activity graph, that is live. And I think even the tag impression analytics are live. I've not seen something that shows you the best time and day to stream to hit certain games or categories. So that would be totally new. But I think some of this stuff is live. So that kind of shows you how some things in this whole article are very close to live, and some may be like end of the year that we see them. But cool to see that we're getting more data in general. We can definitely get some stuff shared here. And if you guys have screenshots of this to share of your own, and it's already out there and in the wild, we'd love to see that too. But yeah, I'll always take more viewership info and analytics to go through, because it's cool to see some of the stuff built right into Twitch. You don't have to use Solenoid or Twitch Tracker or other sites to go get it now, which is cool.
Yeah, let's move on to, I think, the final two features that they announced, which I think are the best two. Well, maybe not this first one, but the second one certainly is. The first is helping you recognize and connect with your community, whether you're live or offline. Twitch has had ways of being able to contact your viewers previously, but they removed it. If you cast your mind back to probably 2 years ago, before the hot tub the meta was around, certainly you used to be able to email your subscribers, and you know, you couldn't send whatever you wanted. You couldn't build an email with images and things like that, but you could write a message and send it out to all of your, I think it was subscribers, I don't think it was followers, I think it was just subscribers. But yep, too many people were abusing it, sending out their links to their OnlyFans. So it got removed and has never been brought back. Anyway, this isn't that, but they are talking about a way of being able to stay in touch with your community even when you aren't live. So launching a messaging product that allows you to send video and clip messages targeted to your followers or subscribers while you're offline. So this could be kind of cool, you know, if you have a stream and you got some great highlights and you get able to send out those highlights to all the different followers. It depends how that comes to them. If it comes in an email, I don't think that's going to do very well. But if it ties into the Twitch app or something like that, and you get a notification and it's nicely packaged, then I can see it being quite a popular tool in a way of being able to, you know, make sure that you're maintaining a relationship with your viewers when they didn't watch you or when you're not live anymore.
Yeah, I actually like this a lot in terms of just having a cool little tool. It's interesting that they say video and clip messages. I don't know what the difference between video and a clip really is. Maybe one's edited, I guess. And this kind of, I almost want to say it reminds me of OnlyFans or something, Pete. Like, is this a feature that's on? I don't actually know, but it sounds like something that'd be on OnlyFans. In any case, I think it kind of would be cool if you could send us little video updates, like almost like a story or something from Instagram to subs or followers without having to make a full update video on YouTube or something. So that could be pretty cool and something we don't really have currently, at least built into Twitch, to send stuff to your subs or followers.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't ever thought about video messages being like things that you just record with your phone. I was still thinking of it being a highlight from your stream. But yeah, that's probably what they mean. You know, a way of being able to quickly send an update out to all of your followers. You know, if you're going to stream at a different time to what you scheduled, or if there's a certain event that you're going to be attending or something like that. That's probably what they're thinking. They also announced a Q&A tool to be able to take prompts from your audience with mod tools to allow them to vet and approve the links before you show them on stream. I feel like we've seen a lot of tools do this, but maybe we've not ever seen one that's specifically on Twitch. There's certain websites that you can use or chatbots that you can use that sort of pull questions from chat, and then your mods can approve and disprove certain comments. It feels like mods are going to have much more of an impact with, I know that we're going to come on to some of the safety updates as well, but you know, them controlling your chat and being able to help you with the guest stream things and prepping people in the green room and then Q&As and things like that. It's going to be a much more of a team effort to run some of the really big streams. But not too much to say on that, other than that'll be a cool tool. I'm sure people will use it if they do Q&A streams. The biggest thing that they saved right for the end of the article, in fact, they saved this for the last bullet point, and they kind of just run through it. They're talking about a launch of customizable tags, but I don't care about that. I'm interested in this. I'm going to read the full paragraph out for the podcast listeners. We're introducing a new discovery feature on mobile that will allow viewers to seamlessly scroll through a feed of recommended channels and clips with ease. It's perfect for viewers who are looking to discover new streamers when they only have a few minutes to spare. This has been like what people have been asking for years, basically since TikTok or even Instagram days were popular and people were just scrolling through recommended content. Why does Twitch not have something like that for clips when they have so many streamers creating clips on their platform? It sounds like they're finally going to do it. I imagine it's going to look and act kind of like TikTok, but with the 16:9 video, I presume, with clips, or maybe it's going to be a different way of doing it. But I'm really interested in this because discoverability has been awful on the platform for so long, and this feels like an actual genuine attempt by Twitch to improve that, and a way where people probably could find new streamers if they're just flicking through live streams that are happening or clips or highlights from channels.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is the biggest thing that got announced out of this entire announcement. And it is kind of funny they saved it till the very last bullet of the entire point. There's a lot of question marks still here. Again, kind of in theme with the whole rest of the announcement, it was kind of vague messaging. They said a new discovery feature on mobile, so not on desktop currently, that will allow viewers to scroll through a feed of recommended channels and clips with ease. Again, that's kind of vague. It doesn't necessarily mean a TikTok-esque experience. I do think it's interesting that they announced the vertical video editor is also coming this year. So I imagine those might go together, Pete, where you can use the new editor to kind of make your vertical video and then post it to this new discovery feature. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they do this right, this is like the perfect thing for Twitch, because everyone's currently using Instagram and TikTok and YouTube Shorts to post their Twitch clips. So if you can just do it natively on the platform and it's all gaming content and you can go directly to the channel from the clip, I think it'd be huge for the platform. So I really hope they do it right. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I really want to see what this turns out to be like.
Even if it's just the most simple version, like I can go to a certain game title. Let's say I want to watch Valorant clips. I go to Valorant and then I can just sort by the top clips from the last 7 days. Even if it's as simple as that and it has no algorithm driving what I need to watch, if it's just the most upvoted or something like that, it's going to be a massive improvement. Because, you know, at the end of the day, people love watching highlights of games, and that's why they probably got into Twitch streaming in the first place. So, yeah, fingers crossed for this one. I wish they just released a timeline or a screenshot or something for us to, you know, whet the appetite.
The funny thing about this, Pete, is I feel like if they do this experience right, it could almost be more popular than the current Twitch experience. Because, I mean, live streaming is very big, but if you look at the short form platforms like TikTok or YouTube and that kind of stuff, it just dwarfs Twitch. So if they have an entire gaming focused space that has the short form content, that could be like an entire new group of users just who want to come watch short form content in the platform. So I think it could be huge for the platform overall if they do this. But obviously for streamers too, it could be a great new discovery method too.
Yeah, well, that is the 7 or so new features coming to Twitch in 2023. We don't have any timeline. We'll definitely be covering them on the podcast as they come out and as we get to get more info about them. There was another open letter, believe it or not, this week, which we'll just blast through because I realized that we're approaching an hour, which is usually what we like this podcast to be. But there was an update from the heads of safety and community health and product, which, Ben, I believe you have broken down a few points that you want to speak about.
Yeah, this was a pretty long one, and they spent the majority of it actually talking about what they already have done. So I'll try to pull out what is actually going to be new in 2023, and there were four things that I saw specifically called out. The first one is that they're making it easier for streamers and mods to report users, and that more users may now be prompted to verify their accounts. And then I think specifically they called out suspension evasion as one thing they're targeting in 2023. So those are all pretty good things. If it's easier to report, and basically they want to crack down on people trying to dodge bans, it sounds like, which is always nice because some streamers do get targeted with that, which is good. They're also improving mobile support for mods and moderation, which is also very nice because that can be a little convoluted if you're not at a PC to moderate. And then also, they're launching a reporting tool specifically for mods and streamers. So it'll be different from the viewer tool, which is pretty interesting. And maybe that would have some cross-channel reporting functions, things like that too. Thirdly, this one's kind of funny to me, Pete. They are kind of testing an education-focused program intended to help streamers who have received enforcements better understand why their behavior is harmful or prohibited. So it's like going to school sort of for why you're in trouble at Twitch, which I guess some streamers might need, particularly maybe like younger streamers who just don't honestly understand what's going on. But it kind of read as a funny sentence to me. Apparently they're targeting a couple of users to test it with, some streamers. So I don't think it's going to be for everybody, but it sounds like maybe some problem streamers in the platform might be put into this program, like a rehab sort of to get back into streaming, which we'll see how that one turns out. And then the very last paragraph of here, they have a more vague words, but what I got out of this is it sounds like they want to do some sort of new algorithm update or filtering update for both viewers and streamers for viewers to be able to kind of pick what stuff they want to watch on the platform and for streamers to make themselves more unique or stand out sort of. So again, super vague in that piece, but it sounds like they want to do some better filtering at the end of the day. And that's the TLDR of what I got out of this open letter, Pete.
Thanks to Ben for going through the more boring of the two articles in preparation for the podcast. We will, of course, leave links to both of these open letters down in the show notes. If you're listening to this in the podcast version, just open up the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, it'll be down in the description once I've updated it. Once this live stream finishes, I add all the links and all the timestamps and things like that. But yeah, a lot to digest really from this week. I've said it a few times in this podcast. I wish we had screenshots. I wish we had little videos that we could watch. I wish we had an actual roadmap of when these things are estimated to be released, because all we have right now is 2023 at some point. And I'm sure maybe one or two of these might even get delayed, you know, into the last quarter or something like that. But we can cross our fingers. They've announced them. They must be working on them now. They wouldn't make such a deal of announcing them if they were still debating whether or not to build them. So yeah, excited all around.
I do want to give Twitch like a round of applause for doing this, because again, this is the first time I think they've done something like this, that we've gotten a full roadmap of here's what we're going to go do in the next year, which is really nice, because historically there's not been a lot of communication from Twitch on things like this until after issues have happened or after things have come out. So I like this a lot, Pete, and I hope we get more of this, of stuff in advance, even though it may be, you know, 8, 10, 11 months away. At least they're telling us where they're going and can kind of get feedback from the community. And clearly they've seen a lot of good feedback for things like the TikTok tool or whatever it ends up being. So hopefully it helps kind of push them in the right direction, and it's cool to see.
Yeah, I think that'll probably do it for this week. Thanks as always for joining and listening along. I think it's almost been an hour. So yeah, really appreciate all the comments in chat. I'm sorry we don't get to more of them, but we had a lot to cover and a lot to get through, even if it was just one big web page article this week. But yeah, really enjoyed that podcast, Ben. And well, let's keep the streak going through February as well. A few more Mondays to get to, and lots more news. If Twitch keeps releasing features at the rate that they're planning on, then we should have plenty to talk about. Thanks as always for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
See ya.